Welcome back to the Iran Policy Podcast. In recent weeks, lawmakers from several European countries have voiced their support for the Iranian people's uprising and their desire to live in a secular and democratic republic. This growing wave of support happens against the backdrop of growing repression in Iran and efforts by the regime to stifle dissent and protests by ratcheting up executions. Joining us on this episode of the Iran Policy Podcast is Ms. Dolat Nouruzi, the representative of the National Council of Resistance of Iran in the UK. Ms. Nouruzi will help us understand the significance of these statements and how they tie in with the ongoing efforts of the Iranian resistance inside Iran and across the globe. Welcome to the podcast, Ms. Nouruzi. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for inviting me to your program.
So, Ms. Nouruzi, let me start the conversation with what we've seen in the past week. So we have seen a growing number of parliamentarians from European countries voice their support in statements, voicing their support for the ongoing protests in Iran and their organized resistance movement. So tell us a bit about the scope of these efforts and the process that this campaign had and how in such a short time you were able to realize this.
But I have to say that we owe this extent of support to the Iranian communities, especially scattered in various parts of European countries, both in the United Kingdom, as well as in Italy, in major countries in Europe that we have seen majority numbers of the parliamentarians supporting the statement for the ongoing protests in Iran, and especially the demands of Iranian people and the protesters, especially women and youth, for a major change for freedom, democracy, equality, human rights to bring in Iran. And as they clearly chant in their slogans, very much against the ruling dictatorial establishment. I have to say that during the past several weeks, these efforts that you could see, in my view, on the other hand, the deep grassroots support of the Iranian resistance amongst many different social or political layers of the Iranian diaspora outside Iran, which is again an indication of the extent of support of this movement inside the country. And I think they very much show everyone that how this movement has been able to gain the sympathy and support of Iranians that truly believe in a democracy and the rule of law, human rights, and equality. Some of these parliaments, if I may point out to some of them, especially the Italian majority number of senators in the Italian Senate that have extensively supported the movement and supported this statement, in which one of its major points was to support the 10-point plan of NCRI's president, Mrs. Maryam Rajavi, that since 2006, this plan has been announced and has been presented by Madame Rajavi to the world community to show that what is the real true demand of Iranian people led by its organized resistance for the future of Iran. I have to say, in addition to the Italian Senate, we had the majority of the Scottish Parliament. I have to say that it's really nearly two-thirds of that parliament, because out of the 129 seats, more than 80 members of that parliament have supported this statement. The other one that I have to refer to is the Welsh Parliament, in which again, out of the 60 parliamentarians, some 36 of them so far have supported the movement. From Northern Ireland, I have to say more than two-thirds, out of 90 seats in that parliament, 68 of them have supported this statement. That has been widely the efforts of the Iranian community to actually bring them to the attention of the parliamentarians, and many of them do understand the current political circumstances in Iran, especially the looming crisis that they know it is as a result of corruption and repression of the ruling regime. And through the efforts of Iranian community, they understand how this very organized resistance movement has tried for the past four decades to give up everything they have had in order to bring about that major change for the sake of Iranian people to really enjoy a democratic republic with separation of religion from the state, and especially with equality, gender equality, as well as removal of all sorts of discrimination against ethnic and religious minorities. And I have to say that again, recently we witnessed the majority of the Geneva Parliament that supported the movement. I think out of 100 members, 63 of them so far have supported the statement on the support of the Iranian people's uprising. And I think these are, in my view, significant because it shows that the cries of Iranian people for freedom and democracy are being conveyed through the Iranian community and the Iranian diaspora to many leaders of the world, to many politicians from all different political parties. It is very significant that it is a sort of a movement that can have all different politicians, despite differences they may have on various local issues in their own parliament. But when it gets to the situation in Iran, they are united in terms of supporting the major demand of Iranian people and its organized opposition movement. So I have to say it is very necessary because we need the world community as not a neutral player, but an important one, to understand in century 21 what is happening in Iran, and especially our women and youth, that total up to be more than maybe 70% of Iran's population, which is a very strategic country in the whole of Middle East. So it is essential for them to understand that if they really do and are committed to Universal Declaration of Human Rights and all the major points in the rule of law, they need a democratic, a stable Iran to be a partner. And that is also very important for the vital interest of the world community. So they want to understand that at this era, they are standing with millions of Iranian people and not a very terrible, brutal, repressive regime that everyone knows on the other side of the coin of domestic repression. This regime violently resorts to the export of terrorism and fundamentalism, which is again a major threat for every member state of the world community.
Yeah, if I may just jump in, you just mentioned you mentioned the majority of parliaments in Geneva. I guess it was Scotland, Italy, and so. Two things that stand out in those statements. One is the recognition for the people's desire to live in a secular and democratic republic. And the other one is the 10-point plan of Mrs. Maryam Rajavi, in which in those statements, they iterate the values that it represents. So given the, and you said this has existed, this plan has been put forth in 2006, I guess. So why is it significant in the current state of Iran protests, and what is becoming fast turning into a revolution in Iran? Why is it important to have this discussion about what the Iranian people want to replace the regime with? And why is it important to have the support or to have this outline of what the future of Iran will look like?
But I think it is perhaps because it's a very new era. It's a different era that in terms of the political circumstances in Iran and the world community, I think they have realized that perhaps through the social media and all the sacrifices of our youth and women that very courageously during the past 8 months of continuation of nationwide protests in Iran, the world has recognized that the Iranian people in no way do tolerate this regime any longer. And all the propaganda of the regime and especially their lobbies in Europe or in the West, because of short-term economic interest, some of them because of their personal, unfortunately, interest, they have their eyes blind over the true realities in Iran, or they don't understand it. But I think all of that has now been changed because they are faced with the true reality that the Iranian nation, whether the youth or from all different sectors of Iranian society, clearly chant the slogans on the streets everywhere in Iran, despite very brutal repression and aggression of especially Revolutionary Guard Corps, the Pasdaran and the brutal Basiji forces. But they chant the slogans, down with dictator, down with Khamenei. Khamenei is a murderer. His rule is illegitimate. They clearly say, we want freedom, we want freedom, we want democracy. And we know well that our nation and the Iranian people strongly deserve a democratic a democratic republic in Iran. They clearly chant the slogan that there is no room for any dictatorship, neither Shah and nor the mullahs are not in any way at all representing the Iranian people. And they say they must get lost or that give up and go away. They clearly say that to Khamenei, that you are the main problem. It is not the inflation, not the poverty, which are all actually as a result of that very corrupt regime, that such circumstances has been imposed on the Iranian public. They are quite well aware that huge sums of money and a large percentage of Iranian national revenue on oil, on gas, and other major wealth of the country is being plundered by this regime. And then they are using it whether for domestic repression and for trying to preserve their faltering, very backward and fanatic system and the rule of this very, I have to say, extremist, reactionary, repressive regime. They know that huge part of it is being spent on export of terrorism and especially meddling into the affairs of regional countries, Syria, Yemen, Iraq, Lebanon, especially with the Hezbollah, and not any of it are spent for the Iranian people's welfare or for development and progress of Iranian nation, but totally the opposite. The mullahs are actually taking away everything from Iranian people in order to have their expansionist policy and their own ambition to spread the rule of terror into the whole of the region. This is what they are aiming for. So I have to say the world has realized that it is not the Iranian people, and there is a clear distinction between the ruling establishment and what the ambitions of the mullahs, and especially their involvement in hostage taking, in money laundering, in terrorism, in all sorts of criminal activities they do, especially with the drugs and with all the trafficking and smuggling of all sorts of drugs in order to gain revenue, in order to continue the rule of terror, not only in Iran, but also outside Iran, exporting it to the other countries as well. And they're taking actually, they're resorting to all that in order to blackmail the Western countries to give up to all sorts of illegal demands of this regime, namely the whole policy of hostage taking. Actually, the main aim of the regime is to use the poor, actually captives or the hostages as a bargaining chip in order to demand or to blackmail Western countries for various demands they have. So I have to say that now the world, as a result of all these efforts, and because of the Iranian people taking the risks of even losing their lives, but they come and continue the protest. They continue their chanting against everything wrong with this regime. And then, despite that, they know they are being attacked, whether by, you have seen, some 750 have been murdered by this regime in the daylight. They were targeted and they were shot to their head, to their chest, to their abdomen, and very violently and brutally, they have been beaten up with all sorts of weaponries as well as other instruments of the clubs by this very brutal and aggressive revolutionary guard. But yet they continue the struggle because they know there is no other way. And the only solution is really the change of that regime. So the world is realizing the Iranian people are on their way towards a major change for overthrowing this regime. And there is no way that they will in any way tolerate any form of dictatorship, whether it would be a previous Shah dictatorship that we know through their SAVAK agents and that repressive apparatus. The Iranians were forced to actually resort to their nationwide revolution in February 1979 that led to the overthrow of Shah. However, the negative experience was that the mullahs, because of the major democratic opposition, particularly the Mujahideen movement, as well as the Fedayeen movement, were imprisoned those years by Shah. Many of their leaders executed. So they took advantage of that circumstances and actually hijacked the revolution of Iranian people and deviated it from democracy into theocracy. But now the world understands that the Iranian people have learned a very good lesson. And that is why this organized movement, through formation of this political coalition, the National Council of Resistance of Iran, has been able to have offices around Europe and the United States and many other parts of the world that actually echo the major demand of Iranian people and also what their dreams for a free democratic Iran, which is, I think, very fundamental for every liberated human being. So this is what they want. And I think it is now time for many world leaders to also stand on the side of millions of Iranian people that make this demand.
It makes sense. So as you said, this is a protest that has been ongoing despite the regime's repression. And so there's a bit of ambivalence about what's going to replace the regime. It's clear that the people want the regime to be gone. So it's interesting to have this platform that provides a very clear roadmap of what the Iranian people want. And as you just said, it resonates with the slogans that the people are chanting in Iran, whether it's the overthrow of the current regime or the rejection of a return to the previous dictatorship, the monarchical dictatorship. So it really makes sense that it provides this clear roadmap. Now, have the regime and its allies and lobbies tried to sabotage these efforts that you have been carrying out in Europe? And if so, how were they?
Yeah, I can tell you that the Iranian communities all of a sudden were faced with some so-called opposition groups or individuals claiming that for some 4 decades they have been opposing this regime and they are leading the Iranian people's uprisings or protests in different parts of the country, or even some claim that it is nationwide. This is ridiculous, and I think anyone dealing with the world of politics understands that without a grassroots and without many years of efforts, without an organization or a party, a political party, it is just so naive for an individual to come and claim that simply because they claim to be a reporter or they claim to be a movie star or something, and then all of a sudden they will say that they represent the opposition and the protest nationwide in many various cities in Iran, while you know much better that especially with many various ethnics in and their languages in Iran, none of these individuals can really honestly be representing any of those people. And so the Iranian community digged in and they found out that some of them have links with the Iranian regime embassies in different countries in Europe. Some of them in the past used to be parts or parcels of the so-called reformist faction of the mullahs with Khatami, or with the other that you know better, that in previous protests and demonstrations in Iran, people clearly chanted the slogan that the hardliners, reformers, the game is over, and that the Iranian people no longer at all will be fooled that whether there is a real or some sort of reformist faction within the regime. So it is very clear that such efforts are done by the Iranian regime, Ministry of Intelligence, whether directly or indirectly. But it is an effort to try, first of all, to discredit the major true opposition movement, which is the NCRI, that for the past 40 years have gained a very strong political support from all different parliamentarians and political parties in Europe and the United States. If I may refer to Resolution 100 in the US Congress, it is up to now over 250 members of the Congress, both from Republicans and Democrats, that have supported that resolution. That again, very clearly, one of the major articles of it is in support of the 10-point plan introduced by Mrs. Maryam Rajavi, the president-elect of the National Council of Resistance of Iran. And everybody knows that such kind of unity amongst Democrats and Republicans on such a complicated issue such as Iran can only happen when there is a very strong grassroots support of Iranian communities that for many years have worked in the United States with their members of Congress as well as members of the Senate, and have been able to enlighten them and inform them about the true situation in Iran. And so the mullahs have tried by misinformation campaign, by so-called different reporters, and through their links with Iran to gain some sort of credibility or recognition for themselves, and then claim that they are a part or they are a coalition of such organized movement, opposition movement. And again, some of them, you see that there was an effort by them to form a sort of a coalition by the son of Shah, but everyone knows that at the end of the day, he represents and his recognition comes from his father, which was already overthrown in 1979 by the whole Iranian nation, because we wanted a true democratic Iran. That was the major demand of everyone. So I have to say that the mullahs try by resorting to such kind of tools or such kind of scenarios to somehow not only discredit the opposition, but also in a way whether to deviate the course of protest and demonstrations in Iran, or to delay it and buy time as much that they can and create obstacles on the way of particularly the resistance units and the defiant youth that have given up everything they've had in order to really bring about that change for Iranian people, because they know clearly there is no opportunity for no one. And all the crises, whether socially, politically, economically, can only be resolved with the overthrow of this regime, because they neither can nor they want to really resolve any of these crises. It is a very undemocratic, brutal regime that, as I said, doesn't understand anything but repression, destruction, stealing, bribery, blackmailing, and these are all parts of the true nature of this very fanatic, backwarded regime that in no way represents the Iranian nation, especially in century 21. And so I have to say that there has been a lot of effort by the regime, as I said, to try to somehow deviate the attentions and divert it to other phony so-called opposition in order to discredit the major one. And to actually acknowledge and confess that this movement is the true alternative that can bring about the change, can overthrow this regime, and can and is capable of bringing democracy, freedom, and the rule of law in hopefully future Iran, a democratic republic with separation of religion from the state through free and fair elections. And this is what the Iranian people deserve.
Absolutely. And the explanations that you gave just make it this achievement much more remarkable, because, as you said, the regime is working in intricate ways. It's a multifaceted effort using reporters, bribery, using former agents of the regime who have rebranded themselves as opposition figures. And at the same time, they're using blackmailing through hostage taking. So they're using a lot of efforts to stop the resistance and also deviate the revolution, the protest from their true path, which goes hand in hand with the repression that's happening inside Iran. Yeah.
So if I may just give you an example, there have been incidents that we have talked and we have spoken with members of parliament, and they told us that actually, like, they have received thousands of emails, most of them very similar even to one to each other, coming from different sources, but they're all alike. Hundreds of them are exactly even the same
automated
sentence.
Emails.
Yeah, so they know that it's the regime's cyber attack that actually tries to exert as much pressure on members of parliament in order to force them to stop their support for the movement, just because they have the courage and the dignity to support the Iranian people's aspiration. So these are the things that we have received the information that how the regime is exerting pressure, some even through the hierarchy of their political leadership, or even the government or the foreign office have been pressuring members of parliament because of supporting the statements, because of the mullah's regime demand. So I have to say that this is as far as they even go in order to pressure members of parliament to actually stop their support or to be neutral in terms of what the reality is in Iran. So they do all sorts of evil things in order to stop the world community or elected members of the European people in the parliament to really be able to freely express their support for the Iranian people's opposition and for their demand.
Absolutely, and as I said, it just makes it much more remarkable. Thank you very much, Ms. Norizi, for joining us on the program. Wish you the best of luck in your future activities and all the support you can get for the people of Iran.
Thank you very much for inviting me and for the time. And I do appreciate all your efforts in trying to convey the message of the movement, of our movement, and the efforts of both the Iranian community and diaspora, as well as the opposition members in different countries. I'm very grateful to everything that you have tried to do in conveying that message. Thank you so much.
Of course. So this is a wrap for this episode of the Iran Policy Podcast. See you next time.